It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So, last night, I slept super terrible again.
Oh no.
Yeah, so be prepared. I'm going to be an asshole in this episode. No, and I don't know what. Like, I'm trying to figure out what else in my life is secretly full of caffeine that I'm not aware of. Because, like, there was no reason last night. Didn't have caffeine. Didn't watch any, like, freaky movie that messed me up or not. Like, I wasn't hyped up. I just wasn't tired. And I tried several times.
The stress doesn't do it?
I mean, I wasn't stressed as far as I know.
I've been having exploding head things happening, so I know I'm stressed. That's what happens when I get stressed. I get exploding head.
I am the opposite. When my head starts to explode, it stresses me out. I don't know which of us is the unusual one, but
it's me. We know that. What is it?
This is great audio for people who are not watching.
I was gonna say, what is that?
It's a digital meat thermometer.
Oh, have you used it yet?
No, I'll be using it tonight. A long time ago, I asked Trish to get me one, and what she got me was a big elaborate one that is made for like putting, like you stick it in like the roast and you attach it to the side of the oven and it sets off an alarm when it's reached the right temperature.
Okay.
Which is cool. Not what I was concerned with. I wanted one that like, how's this steak doing? Let's jam it in there, wait 5 seconds and it'll tell me. And so she finally got that. Turns out this one will do both actually, but it does that. So I think I mentioned before, she bought us a grill.
Oh,
did I not mention this?
I mean, maybe you did. I don't remember.
So I love to grill, but I am very bad at grilling. Basically, my two grill modes are hockey puck, carbon, or salmonella. Like I'm really bad. but I still like doing it. I don't know. I've always liked doing it. But now that I've been cooking more, I'm getting a little bit, like, I'm getting pretty good at, like, pan frying a steak and stuff like that and having it come out pretty good. Right. So she was like, this could be a good time. And also, mostly in the warm weather months, she desperately wants grilled things. So this time we decided to really go for it. Usually, because it sort of is just sort of half-assed, we buy, like, a cheap charcoal grill or whatever, but they're just a pain. And this time we're like, you know what? Let's actually do a propane grill. So we got it. It's pretty snazzy looking. It's definitely on like the low end, but totally good enough for us. And she bought a model that had already been put together. So that was really good. And we've been meaning to use it and it hasn't happened yet because we had to get propane. And then the weather was insanely hot for no reason. I had just like 2 days of dying. To be fair, I didn't sleep too well those nights either, but I knew why I didn't sleep well those nights.
Sure.
And then it's been raining, just constant. Yeah. So hopefully tonight, like as soon as we finish recording this, I'm going to go attach the propane for the first time, get to like do the initial heating and all that stuff. And hopefully it works. Trish isn't here. Trish is at work. So if you see like a big explosion off in the distance, of, you know, Northeast Iowa City, I did it wrong.
Okay.
I've been reading the manual. I've been reading it twice, only in English. It has several other languages, but I've been sticking in with English. So I think it'll be fine, but new experience here. But yeah, and then I get to use the meat thermometer. I bought us good steaks. I bought us like real, we've been getting the like little tiny tender steaks that are like cheap and on sale, but they're like, you know, super thin and ridiculous. So I got us some real steaks. And I think I'm going to try and bake potatoes on there.
What do you think? Why do people like grilled things so much? And I'm including myself because I used to like.
Yeah.
And also, there's lots of ways to make all kinds of grilled vegetables on a grill, and they do better somehow. I don't know why, but
I was gonna grill some zucchini on it, but we waited so long that it got kind of worrisome. So I cooked it up last night in the pan. Did some fake calabacitas that were really, I mean, they tasted fun. They looked just awful. I don't know how to do that. I'm gonna work on that. I am also confused by this.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense if you're like, oh, wood smoke, you know, and it gives it that smoky flavor or whatever. Yeah, but this is propane, in theory, adding no flavor.
Yeah.
Whatsoever. The only thing I can think of is it really encourages myardization, or in the case of vegetables, caramelization. This is the thing I've learned. When it's vegetable stuff, it caramelizes. When it gets that little, like, that little darkened edge or whatever, that's caramelizing. Yeah. When it's a meat thing, it's referred to as myardizing. Okay. Named after a dude named Myard, I think.
Okay.
I don't think the other one's named after a dude named Carmel. I don't know. And that is super tasty. And I mean, the overly simplified glib version is char. And I think when you've got the grill and you have direct heat and you have the thing, I think that encourages that.
Hmm.
The things I was reading, because of course, whenever I'm trying a new recipe that's not a real recipe, just like a thing to do, like baking potatoes on the grill, I Google it and then I open like the first six tabs and I read each of them. And then I kind of say, okay, what's the common ground amongst all of these recipes? And a couple of them said, like, because you wrap, they're all wrapped in foil. Apparently, it's kind of a hassle otherwise. But several of them were like, poke holes in the foil so the smoky flavor can get in. And I'm like, what? What smoky flavor? But I mean, not that they're wrong, but I'm like, where do it come from? Because it's just propane. So I don't really know, but it's a thing. It's definitely a thing. And it's super convenient when it gets warmer. You don't heat up the house and all that. So that's nice.
I do think there's also some kind of besides the flavor, which is clearly a thing, there's also a sort of, I mean, it's not just about being outside. It's something about, I don't know, when people go camping, and again, I've experienced this myself, you know, cooking over an open fire is a thing. And it's, again, it's not just how it tastes, even though that's part of it. There's something about it that feels more,
There's something very atavistic about using direct heat, especially fire, to cook things. Like, it feels cool. Like, oh, you know, put fire to meat and it's good. But it feels like a thing. Whereas you feel a step removed when you're just using like the oven or whatever. And even to a certain degree, a frying pan. I don't know. It feels like I'm doing less of it and the implements are doing more of it. When it's like a direct fire, it's like, no, I take this, I put it on fire, and I know when the fire has done enough. And then
it feels like there's even a more of a skill to it, maybe, than otherwise. I mean, I don't know. That doesn't make sense because there's definitely a skill to the kitchen stuff.
No, I agree, though. I don't think there is more skill to it, but I do think it feels like there's more skill.
Okay, feels like it, right.
Because again, it's less abstraction between you and the heat. it feels like it because you can see it.
Yeah.
It's like I am, it's me and fire, and that's it. As opposed to it's fire that then is, you know, the pan sort of spreads it around, or the oven. I don't know. I put it in the box, close the lid, and then when they tell me, I open it and it's magic. Like, I mean, we don't know how ovens work. I mean, but we don't know how.
Come on. I wonder if there are some experiences that feel like in some intuitive level feel kind of connected to, you know, other people or to like ancestors or to whatever else. Like while you're doing it, you just have a sense that what you're doing is something. You know, like when you do something in a kitchen, you think, oh, my mom did this and my grandmother did this. But when you're doing something over a fire, it's like
ancient ancestors.
Yeah, the first humans did this. I mean, maybe there's something like that. I don't know.
There is. I mean, there's a survival aspect because you're outside doing it. Yeah, there's the sense that it's not as like safe or whatever. And credit where credit is due, even when it's shitty credit. There's a lot of gendered stuff built into this one.
Hmm.
In our society, grilling outside and cook is a manly thing. And there's tie-ins to that with personal power, which means people who aren't men or even interested in manly things still could gravitate to it because it seems strong and impressive. It seems like a brute force thing, rather than a finesse thing you would do in a kitchen. And there's an appeal to that sometimes.
Huh.
Oh. Kind of like how I like doing my virtual boxing because I feel kind of badass when I'm like punching stuff or whatever. And it's not like I would be murdered in an actual fight if I tried to do my fitness boxing. And it's not necessarily a better workout or anything like that. But there's just something that feels cool about it. And there's something that feels cool about grilling.
I think if I was going to guess, I'll go ahead and guess for Abby because she likes to
guess.
I think there's, of course, again, like I said, I think it tastes better to her, but I think it also feels more authentic. This is how you're supposed to prepare this food. This particular food that she's preparing on the grill, you know,
it gets dangerously into evolutionary psychology. So I'm not sure I want to go that way, but
she's not an evolutionary psychology type person. I just think that, you know, like the first time, you know, like she likes buffalo more than she likes beef. Is, you know, so she's making buffalo. It's like, well, the first time anybody ever cooked buffalo, it wasn't searing it in a pan and then, you know, broiling it in an oven. It was more like this. And so, I mean, I think it's legitimately more authentic, you know, in terms of how the meat was originally prepared.
That's how I feel about when I make mastodon ribs. Same kind of thing. Very seldom do it inside. I mean, there's a space issue also, but. Yeah. But I mean, taste is definitely the thing, because Trish doesn't give a shit about grilling, but she wants me to grill like all the time. Like, I think she'd be happy if the rest of our meals from now until fall were just grilled. So It's gonna be tricky when I make tortellini, but we can figure it out.
Grilled tortellini, I mean, that might be good. I don't know. Just about everything I've ever had grilled, even stuff that I previously didn't think of as being a thing you could grill, I didn't have grilled sweet corn until relatively late in my life. I never even thought about that before, but it works. That's good. It's very good. So it's like,
no, you can get weirder than that. A few years ago, Papa Murphy's Take and Bake Pizza did a whole thing about you can grill your pizza, and you can, and it tastes pretty good.
Yeah, I'll bet it would.
This is a feature we didn't necessarily plan for, but we end up getting, which is awesome. Is the lid to the grill has a temperature gauge in it. So when it's closed, I can see what the temperature is. So to a certain degree, I can use it like an oven.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So I'm very pleased about that. Or at least I expect to be. After we get past the bit about not being blown up, we'll see what happens. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world that is not actually about Harry Potter's sorting hat. Every other podcast is. I know there's an irony there. I know, but I mean, you all know that's not what we say. Magical Talking Hat. That's not what we're talking about. Every other podcast is. Listen again, you'll hear it. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 525.
I didn't remember, so.
Yeah.
525. I'm pretty sure there have never been any blue jeans like that.
Oh, no.
Check out my manicure now. It is not good. I have not done anything since last week to it, and it's so... Now it's like some sort of inverse French tip because my nails are growing. So it's just the tips now. But I realized something about this. When I do this, I used to do this a lot more. I also used to wear makeup more. But I would do my nails way more often than I would wear makeup. And part of it is it's longer lasting. Like I'm still... getting mileage out of this a week later, whereas, you know, makeup you need to wash off. But I realized I'm pretty sure the nails are just for me. Like, I like looking at them. Hmm. And you can't do that with the makeup on your face. I mean, I guess I could now with Zoom. But I just like looking at them. I have fun with them. I was gaming on last Thursday night, like just after I had done them. And we're sitting there in Zoom and we were just chatting and I started doing this and stuff because I just like seeing how it looked and all that. And at a certain point, somebody else was like, are you trying to hypnotize us? And I was like, no, I'm just looking at my nails. So, and that's a good realization. I like the realization that this is wholly for me and not just in the like, oh, look good for you. Don't look good for anybody. But like, literally, I do this because I enjoy looking at it and it entertains me and is fun for me. And I'm like, that's cool.
So yeah, that is cool.
I do that. For those of you just joining us, sometimes I paint my nails on the show. You never know. But not tonight. Or today. For us, it's much earlier. We're doing this earlier recording thing. It is super convenient. I don't know how I feel about it yet. It feels weird. I always feel I in my head it's now evening because we're recording this, but it's not. So it's weird that I'll finish this and it'll be like 3. Like that's strange to me, but we're doing that. But anyway, shows we have a hat. It's right over here, not on his head, over on my side. Here. It is magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. We'll put that email right there in post. If we knew what post was, we might, but post. I just have a cardboard box over here marked post and I just throw crap in it. I put things in post, but nothing shows up here. Anyway, people, probably most of you listening, not all of you listening, but most of you listening and other people, maybe, I don't know, aliens could be, write in to that email address. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com with little notes, comments, topics, questions, things like that. The hat magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information written on them that manifest within the hat itself, physically within the hat itself. Its highly decorated servants draw the note cards out of the hat at random, read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, do that for about an hour. That's the whole show, except the parts that aren't, which is most of it. All right, are we done? No, I think we got some more left. Oh. How's your week been?
Good. So I wanted to say, I had an opportunity to... talk to my family more about Chicago Mike.
Chicago Mike.
And I probably said before that my family is an Oldsmobile family. They really like Oldsmobiles. And my youngest brother is also a fan of Ransom Eli Olds, the guy who created the Oldsmobile. And when I was telling them the story about Chicago Mike, he was intensely interested in what cars Chicago Mike drove, which is not unusual for him, but he was even more interested in usual, I think, because in that era, in the 1920s, Ransom E. Olds was still alive and making cars. So if Chicago Mike was known for having the fastest, best car, it could have had one of Olds's cars.
Yeah.
So he really wanted to know. So after we talked about
turned out Chicago Mike exclusively drove Peugeots. Nobody really knows why.
He just found Peugeots. He did research after our visit, and he found an obituary that said that a Chicago Mike was often seen driving a Rio Flying Cloud. And a Rio is Ransom E. Old started Oldsmobile, but after a while he left that company. So there were Oldsmobiles being made during his lifetime that weren't made by him. And he started a new company called REO, Ransom E. Olds, right? Rio. In fact, the band REO Speedwagon is named after an actual car that they made, the REO Speedwagon. The Rio
Really?
Speedwagon. Yeah.
Did not know that. That I, so far, and I promise you for the entire rest of the story, will be the most interesting fact I get. But I do like it.
The Rio Speedwagon was a truck, and you could get it in various styles. You could get it so that it would dump. You could get it so that it hauled a tank on the back. But that's what an REO Speedwagon was. Well, the luxury car, the top of the line luxury car that Rio made was this flying cloud in the Royale, and the obituary said that Chicago Mike drove a flying cloud, and the picture of his wrecked car was in the newspaper, so we could send that to my brother and he could look at it and analyze it. His analysis was very detailed, and
he determined that Chicago Mike faked his death and is still alive and at large today.
You know, I thought it was so funny because the coroner who investigated Chicago Mike's death was a Wright. His last name was Wright, and here my brother was acting like a car coroner and looking at the photo and analyzing everything. And I think he's pretty certain that what Chicago Mike crashed was his flying cloud, his Rio flying cloud. So he
you think that now he's got a cork board in his house now, and there's yarn. There's just a circle drawn on a napkin and a little post-it note that says hubcap question mark.
So yeah, that was kind of fun. Other than that, you know, we're helping Dave Avid test a couple of his games. Well, okay, so one we're helping him with is on Thursday nights. We'll be doing it again tonight, and that's the Darkwell one.
Yes, which is his flagship. That's what he has been working on for eons. He's been working on that game for as long as I have known him, and much longer.
So last week we were just setting up characters and stuff, so we didn't really get super into it, but I'm playing as a psychic in it. Ooh. So that'll be interesting. I've never played a psychic before. But also this week we helped him a one-shot playtest for a game that he's working on. Have you ever played that game that's it's a card prompt game for the Queen, I think it's called?
Oh yeah.
Okay, so
he actually introduced Trish and Trish's sister to it, and we have played it since then multiple times, and discovered a kid's version of it that involves the princess's cat being missing, and we have played that with the whole family over Zoom.
I think you talked about that once on the podcast.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, he got an idea to adapt it to a different type of setting, and it involves time travel and pirates. So, which are two of Abby's favorite things. So he asked us if we'd help him play test it. And we had a fantastic time doing that. It was great. And so we did.
I've been adapting a version of For the Queen as well. Mine's called For the County Auditor. It's very similar. It's just sort of a reskin of the whole thing. You all are employees in the county auditor's office.
So tonight we'll be playing the dark well thing, and again I'll be playing a psychic, so that'll be fun. I've got a lot of ideas about mostly my psychic doesn't have powers like ESP or anything like that. It's mostly just visions of the past, present, or future, and that's all. I mean,
You're going to be the dead weight character.
Probably. Well, that's probably
always going to be. You're going to be Jesse from Irregulars.
I mean, my character can experience other types of phenomena because being a psychic, but mostly the power.
You're the MacGuffin. You're the thing they have to carry around so they can plug it into shit, and find out what's going on. But otherwise, you do nothing.
Maybe that'll be my last name, MacGuffin.
There you go.
No, but we're looking forward to it. Dave is so good at this stuff. It's just, it's always fun.
And Oh yeah.
Can't wait. Well, how was your week?
Pretty good, I think. So I haven't finished Witcher 3 yet. I am still playing it. I took a little stop to try out something I'd been thinking about, and it has kind of sucked me in pretty heavily. I'm playing Genshin Impact. Genshin, the word impact. This is a relatively new game. I think it's been out a year or two now. It is hugely popular. It is a free-to-play game and is available on pretty much everything. You want to play it on your PC, you want to play it on any console, including Switch, you want to play it on your phone, on your tablet, any of these, can you play this game? And it is a free-to-play in that there are all sorts of currencies built into it, and the really big one, you can spend real money to get it so that things can happen quicker and better and faster and all that. I have not done this as of yet. It's not an MMO. It does now have the ability that you can do things cooperatively with a friend, but it's largely just a single player game. It's a Japanese thing called a gacha game, which apparently where the whole point is getting new characters. And so that's sort of where the money aspect comes in. You spend money on the currency that you need to do the equivalent of loot boxes. They're called wishes. And then you get new characters and new gear out of it. You hope to get cool new ones you haven't had before. So far though, not necessary. Like, I can play just fine without. And it is a very heavily open world exploration game. It has been compared a lot to the Switch title Zelda Breath of the Wild. And the thing is, it's just nice. It's just pleasant. Everybody's cute little anime characters, and the world is gorgeous, and they just go around and do stuff. The combat's kind of interesting. You have up to four characters like in your party, but there's only one character on screen. Like, you can switch instantly, and all the combat is based around elemental interactions, and every character has like a different element attached to them. So you do a lot of things where I like, okay, switch into this one and shoot them with electricity, and now they're electrified. And then I switch over to my water-based character and hit them with water, and then and stuff like that. So it's kind of fun there. But yeah, everybody's just cute little anime people. It's got little anime plot lines nobody gives a shit about. You have a main character. In fact, what it is there are these two twins that are traveling from world to world, and then they ended up in this world, and this strange god came and got really mad at him and stole one of them away, and you're the surviving twin. So you can play if you're the girl twin or the boy twin. I'm playing the girl twin. And then you're trying to find your sibling. And so you just go through this world and you get heavily involved in other stuff. And it's lots of little quests and little cooking and a lot of like resource getting and stuff and going and finding things. And it's just fun. It's just fun and simple and pretty. And I'm enjoying it. And it's so much better. Like Witcher 3 is an amazing game. This game, no abuse of prostitutes, no one murdering people for murdering other people, nobody there's not a lot of class struggle going on. Like, you know, it's just nice. So yeah, so I'm really enjoying that. I'm putting a lot of time into it, and it's a great quarantine game, because there's like, it's very simple. You don't have to, and it is single player, so like there aren't like people around with weird usernames jumping a lot crap like in an MMO. It's just me. It is funny because all the characters you can be are people in the world. And so, like, I did this thing where I was supposed to meet this character to start a quest. He's already a character in my party, so I switched to him. So he went to go meet him. But then as soon as the cutscene triggered, I'm the main character. Mm. So, but it's really nice. And, yeah, it's free, and it's on any freaking platform. So I would highly recommend it to people. I mean, I can't – don't spend money on it. I haven't spent money on it yet. But it's nice. It's called Genshin Impact, and your little guide through everything is this very small floating child anime thing named Paimon, and she's super annoying because she's like just cute little kid anime, and she talks about herself in the third person all the time. And like the other day she made me buy some fairly expensive food just because she was hungry. Like, just weird. But it's nice. So, watch some movies. Saw a movie. So, do you remember Pete Davidson from Saturday Night Live recently came out, did a movie in which he's just like a frustrated man child living on Long Island?
Yes.
Did you know there's another one?
By him or by somebody else being a frustrated man child living?
No, it's him. It's him. That's the thing. Trisha's like, there's this movie and Pete Davidson's there and he's just kind of hanging out and he's not doing anything and all this. And it's like a coming of age thing. And I was like, yeah, King of Staten Island. I heard it. She's like, no, it's not that. And I was like, really? No, it's called Big Time Adolescence. I haven't seen King of Staten Island. I think it's probably very similar. The difference being Big Time Adolescence is not about Pete Davidson. It's about a kid who hangs out with Pete Davidson. It's basically this kid and his older sister dated Pete Davidson for a while. And then they broke up, but he stayed friends with him. So like the kid's 16 at this point, and Pete Davidson's like a late 20s something. And they hang out all the time. And it's sort of dealing with that being their relationship and what that means. It's not bad. It's fine. I don't have a lot to say about it. I just thought it was funny because I'm like, all right, so he's found a niche. Like dead end 20 something stoner. It's working. But he's gonna be the new Suicide Squad. Oh my god, can we talk about this for a second? New Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Trailer. Have you seen this?
Did one come out today and I didn't see it?
No, just at all. And I think there's
sure,
been Yeah.
It's DC. So, I follow it, sure.
I'm so mad.
Mad?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I think I really want to see it.
Really?
And I don't really want to see it. I really don't want to see it. Yeah. Looks fucking awesome. It's James Gunn anyway, so that's a good sign. But that trailer, I'm like, yeah, this is like that trailer could just be called, hey, David Ayer, this is how you fucking should have done it. Right down to, remember Killer Croc? Well, here's a shark that's basically the same thing. Here's how you should have played with that. And it's like, you know, the characters you actually liked from the original Suicide Squad, like the very few of them, we put them in this movie and none of the others. like, I'm so mad because I don't want to see it, but it looks like it's going to be really good. And I really kind of want to see it.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that was weird. At least I'll be able to do it from my own home because it'll be on HBO Max too or whatever. But yeah, it looks really good.
We probably will see it, but not, I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm a DC fan and I'm going to watch a DC thing, but probably of all the DC properties that exist, Suicide Squad is I'm least interested in it.
Of course. You like the hero based ones.
Yeah, most. Well, I wouldn't mind. No, I like villains too. And I like it when villain like Gotham City Sirens is cool to me. I think that's pretty neat. But I just don't. Suicide Squad just doesn't do it for me. But we'll watch it. Maybe it'll be good. I don't know.
Friggin' everybody's in the damn thing, including Pete Davidson for some reason.
Yeah.
Idris Elba, John Cena, Joel Egerton, which whatever. The dude who I think plays the crazy guy in like every David Lynch movie, and now he's in this. And of course, Margot Robbie, Jai Courtney, Viola Davis. I loved it. Somebody watched it and they were like, what is Idris Elba doing in a movie like this? And I'm like, have you not been paying attention? Yes, he used to talk about being a serious actor. Then he did Cats. Then he was the fucking villain in the Fast and Furious spinoff movie. Like, clearly the man does what he wants. Like, there's no longer a question of what, like, he'll do what he wants to do. And I'll bet it was fun as hell to do that.
Well, plus he's good at it. I mean,
oh yeah. That's like, I mean, he's also good at serious acting, but yeah, totally.
I mean, I saw Dark Tower or whatever, sucked, but he was good. I mean, you know, I watched this like, hey, good job. Or like you always Pacific talk Rim. About, yeah, you always talk about Pacific Rim. It's like, hey, that's some pretty good acting in Idris Elba in a crappy movie.
That's before he'd found balance. Like nowadays, I feel like he would have blended in better with the rest of it there.
Probably. But
like then, like that was a problem. He was like, you're coming in too high for this movie. I feel like he's there now.
But I remember when you talked about that, I thought you were exactly right. He had this speech and it wasn't even a very well written speech, but it's like, hey, he nailed that. And it's like, but yes. It's so out of place.
And it suddenly makes me aware that everything else is made out of cardboard and wind-up toys.
Right. The guy's just good. He's just good at it. That's all.
But yeah, I think he's getting into the groove. I mean, he's still doing other amazing stuff. But all right. So that was a side. Anyway, so big time adolescence, whatever. We saw something that mattered. What was it? I can't remember. I saw a very strange movie.
Well,
it's called Here On Out. I might recommend it. I don't know. Here's what it is. It was me looking for one of my usual trashy ghost hunter / haunted house / cabin in the woods films. And what this is kind of a coming of age movie disguised as a low budget supernatural haunted cabin in the woods movie. It's very strange. Like, I'm watching it and it's the standard shit. Like, we're all graduating from college and we're going to go back out to my parents' old cabin for one wild weekend before we all say goodbye forever. And then spooky shit starts to happen. But that's not what the movie's about. Cause then like shit starts coming up about like issues people had with each other back in the day. And there's people who are friends from college. And then some people who were friends in high school who are getting together for the first time and all this. And like, there's horror elements without a doubt, but that's like not the point of the movie. And it's very strange. And I think I might recommend it just for sheer originality. Just because I'm like, I don't know who came up with this, but it's different. And it's not the worst executed thing. I like, it's not a good movie. Don't get me wrong. I did spend the first half going like, these people are not, they're not hateful enough. Like, I'm not super excited about seeing them murdered. But then sort of in the second half, they kind of got shitty. So then I was okay with it. But then like, it turned out that's not what was happening. So
what was it like? Like the original Evil Dead meets the Big Chill or something?
Sort of. I mean, it was less cool than that, obviously, but it very quickly, like, cause at first you're like, you guys do not have time to be rehashing this old shit because like things are happening. Like, voodoo statues are showing up on your doorstep on fire and nobody put them there. Like, some of your friends are missing, things like this. Like, somebody has killed all the standard shit. Like, your cars don't start, all of this stuff. I'm like, this is weird dolls you're fighting. Like, this, you don't have time to be like, who lied about sleeping with who in high school? But then like, that sort of is what it's about. And this isn't a weird like comedy interplay thing. Like, the actual plot involving the flaming statues and everything is its own plot. And it is, I think, a horror movie plot, although it's surprising to me. There was quite a few twists in it. But that's sort of not the point. And it was just original for me. It was not what I expected. And that happens very seldom in the genre. So that was kind of cool. Crap. We watched something that I needed to mention. We watched The Watch.
I don't know what that is.
No one does. So, back in the day, somebody made a really cool sci-fi movie in Britain called Attack the Block. And it was very cool and kind of fun. And it was the first thing that made anyone in America know who John Boyega was. And it was one of those like Candyman where it's like, yeah, it's about monsters, but it's also about like race relations and shit. And it was really good. And if you haven't seen Attack the Block, go see Attack the Block. Great movie. Americans being what we are, we're like, we're going to make an American version of this. Instead of just enjoying this. So what they ended up making was a comedy about a neighborhood watch group starring Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, and Jonah Hill, and co-starring Will Forte. Very different film. Also, when it was scheduled to release about a month before, some asshole named George Zimmerman murdered a kid named Trayvon Martin. So they kind of decided not to put it out then. Because it would be weird. So it waited till later. And when it came out, everybody's like, whatever. And nobody really paid attention or whatever. And Trish found out about it and decided she wanted to watch it. And part of it is she didn't remember all the specs, but part of it is the lead that was buried in here is there are four main characters in this movie: Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn, Jonah Hill, and at the time, super unknown in this country, Richard fucking Iowade, one of my favorite comedians in existence today. He's a British gentleman. He's the host of Travel Man. He helped out with the Mighty Boosh for a long time. He's a staple of many British comic and panel shows. I love him to death. And he was in this. And I was like, what the hell? Let's just watch it. And so we watched it. And if you've seen most late era Ben Stiller comedies, it's that. I actually enjoyed it quite a lot, to the degree that my wife turned to me as the credits were rolling and said, you enjoyed that a lot more than I thought you would. And I explained why. And I actually had explained why at the time. So very early on, somebody gets killed and we go and there's a crime scene and the police are there and the police are played by Will Forte. And Will Forte is talking to Ben Stiller because he's the guy who works at the place where it is. And it's a super goofy, idiotic, like no police would ever talk this way kind of a conversation. And I actually paused the movie and I said, Will Forte can get on my nerves sometimes. I'm really thankful here. He's very much giving me the sense of what kind of movie this is so that I can adjust my perceptions accordingly. Like, mm-hmm. this is not a comedy that's like satire. Like, this is just goofy, unrealistic, crazy shit happens. And so I knew that going in very early on, and therefore was able to appreciate it on that level, which is not something I can do very often. Had I not been prepared, I probably would have hated it. But going in at that level, you know, this is a movie where one or two beers would help. It was fun. It's not bad. And it's fun to see Richard Ayoade doing stuff. And it's really good. It's a real good vehicle for Vince Vaughn and Jonah Hill and Ben Stiller. Like, it's very much in their wheelhouse. Criminally underutilized, both Richard Ayoade and there's another actor who I know only by face, and he's the other cop. And I was like, they're really not using him. He's just in the background. And then about halfway through, I figured out he's essentially doing a Silent Bob thing. Like, he just never speaks, and they'll address him, and he'll do facial features. And that's fun, but he could be better used than that. But yeah, it's not bad. So there's that. We're still doing irregulars. We're heading on through. It's still got a lot wrong with it, but it's not bad. I'm still enjoying it. It's kind of fucking up their colorblind casting, I've recently discovered. The main character in it is Asian. The only other Asians I have seen in it, and I'm almost done with the season, are in an opium den. That seems like you missed something.
No, you're right about that. Now that I think about it, it feels like, I mean, the main female character, Asian character, is very strong, but it's almost like, okay, we're done.
Yeah,
we don't have to worry about Asians now.
And to be fair, also, I mean, there's basically, it's colorblind in that we have a lot of black and white people just put wherever we want, which is good. Don't get me wrong, I'm in favor. But yeah, it's especially right now in this country where like anti-Asian stuff is a particularly hot topic. It's like, and honestly, it makes her stand out. Like, it makes her Asianness bug me more. Like, I don't sit around when I'm watching this, I am enervated enough that I don't go, wait, how can that be black if this person is white in this context at all? But I frequently keep going like, but she's Asian because she's the only one. But then we had a scene in Opium Den, so of course we had more Asian. And I'm like, God damn it. Come on.
So do you have any thoughts or feelings about the queer representation in the series that's not like main character? There's no speaking character that I know of that's queer, but you do see people together who are clearly together who are like same sex and whatever.
Yeah. Except almost all, like 98% of those imagery is lesbian. Which I found disconcerting. We had a big debaucherous party and it was men and women and a lot of women and women. And then we got one fairly quick shot of a couple of guys, not even explicitly together, but just like touching each other on the shoulder or something. So you got the sense that they were sort of together. That was it. Also very disappointed in that one of the main characters, Trish, was certain was going to end up as a queer character and then very clearly is not.
Yeah.
And no spoilers, but she was certain and she wasn't wrong. There was definitely leading in that direction and then nope. Yeah. So, I mean, it's got some problems with it. We'll see. I'll finish out the season and we'll see. It's mostly got me with the whole, you know, I want to see where this mythology is going, but we'll see. We do have to pause for a second and talk about Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Okay.
Have you watched any of Falcon and Winter Soldier?
No, and I don't think we're going to.
We watched the first episode, and we are not going to watch anymore. It has been largely popular, I think. We were, I don't know, there's a lot of reasons for us not to watch it.
Okay.
One of the biggest being it's not subject matter that we like. I understand when you make a cinematic universe where for 5 years half of every living thing was gone and then came back. That's a big society changing thing, and it'd be weird to ignore it. But I don't give a shit. I don't, and I can't entirely tell you why, but the social and economic aftermath of the blip could not care less. And a lot of that is what is dealt with here. Also, Sebastian Stan is hot. Don't give a shit about the Winter Soldier. There is nothing to him. I have never cared about that character. It has never been a character to me. The little inklings of it are not at all interesting. Falcon, I love having him in the background. He's a fun guy. I don't care about him enough to put him in front. And So on paper, don't give a shit about the show. We then watched the first episode. It's depressing. Everybody is dumb. Everybody's making terrible decisions all over the place and saying things that don't make sense and arguing with their siblings in ways that I'm like, you're kind of a dick and you're supposed to be the hero. And it's just a mess. And we're like, we don't care. We're not interested. And then a twist comes at the very end of the episode. And I don't know why, but for some reason, that twist, I was like, I'm out. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in where this is going. I don't care. But there's a problem here. Soon as I said that, I'm like, maybe I'll finish. Maybe I'll watch it. On my own. Trisha doesn't want to watch it. But I'm like, it's only 6 episodes. Maybe I'll do it. And the reason being, not because I'm like, I think it'll be good, but because it is dealing with some serious repercussions that will affect the MCU. And I'm like, I want to sort of keep up on this. And then I say to myself, did you not already say you are only required to go through phase 3 and then you could just do what you want? I'm like, yeah, but I'm not. I'm going to miss things. I'm like, no, you have a choice. You're either going to do that or you're going to have to see every single MCU thing all the time so you can keep it all straight. Do you want that? No, I do not. So then, as you can tell, there's like 2 voices in my head. Having, yes. I wasn't saying it out loud at the time. Sure. It's in my head. And so the other voice is like, then this is your test right here. This is your trial. Do not watch the rest of Falcon and Winter Soldier, because if you cannot keep yourself from watching an MCU thing that you actively don't have an interest in and don't enjoy, you are lost.
You are lost.
So I am now, Trish is like, has no problem. Trish is like, fuck it. I'm out. I don't like it. Whatever. And because like the second Friday, I was like, we could watch the second episode. She's like, no. But now I'm like, no, I'm making myself not watch it. It is therapy to not watch. And don't get me wrong, that fucking Loki show looks tight and I'm watching that. That looks awesome. But that's because I'm excited for that show, not because I give a shit what happens to the timeline.
Yeah, so we have no even interest or temptation to watch. Now, Loki, I mean, you know, there's time travel, there's...
And I love Hiddleston. I love Hiddleston.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
We might watch that. We watched...
I definitely think... It helps that they're short. It helps that, like, WandaVision, 9 episodes and short episodes. Winter Soldier, 6 episodes. I'm assuming Loki will be like somewhere in that same range. It's not tough.
We watched I'm Not Okay With This. That's also kind of a new.
Yeah.
Sort of along those lines show. It was okay.
I think so, I'm just scared by the title. Like, I kind of get what it's going for, but I'm like, what if superheroes, but traumatizing, which seems to be the thing for everything. Holy shit. Have you watched the trailer for Jupiter's Legacy or whatever?
Yeah, I've seen the trailer. Not particularly interested, but we might watch it.
I don't think I, well, and here's the real reason I'm not. It, from Mark Millar. It's his original property.
Yeah.
And I hate that guy's shit.
Kick-Ass,
what was the other one that they touched? Oh, Kingsman. Like
they mentioned it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, that you're selling against yourself right there for me. But also, it looks like it's going to be it looks like I don't do well with superhero TV shows. I don't the day-to-day the watchmaning of superheroes sucks to me, and it's legit, and it's a thought space worth exploring. I don't care. It's very the reality of superheroes in society and looking at it from gritty truth to me falls squarely in the post zombie apocalypse TV shows. Like, I get the appeal. I do not feel any of the appeal.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen The Boys either. I have no interest. It's like, look, I already saw Watchmen. I think I'm set. I don't need to watch more of this stuff.
The thoughts it was going to provoke were taken in the Watchmen graphic novel for me. And I've been forced to deal with this shit a few other times that snuck up on me. And then the Watchmen TV show still did it, but the Watchmen TV show had new things to say, which I like.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
But just by and large, I'm like, you're not gonna be thinking new. And I'm sure they're great. The Boys, I hear, is fucking awesome.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
In a way I would hate.
Like,
people who like The Boys and know me well have said, yeah, you shouldn't watch The Boys.
probably for the same reasons I'm not interested in it.
And Jupiter's Legacy looks like the same thing. It looks fucking awesome. In a way that I would hate. And I fucking hate Mark Millar. So that helps also. Mark Millar is one of those guys who's like, hey, we're going to make commentary about racism and sexism and homophobia. And the way we're going to make that commentary is just by putting a lot of racist, sexist, homophobic shit in here. See, it's like meta. We're really making fun of it. Kick-Ass was a shitty movie. People, you got to live with that. Kick-Ass was a shitty movie. The first Kingsman, I mean, I can't even speak on it. That last scene ruined it. I cannot objectively speak on that movie because of that stupid fucking last scene.
I agree.
Makes me physically upset to this day.
Yeah, I agree.
Anyway, let's draw a thing out of that. I got my haircut. Can you see how nice it is there?
I'm sorry, I didn't notice.
It's because I got my haircut, but I haven't taken a shower today, so the two kind of balance out. It's weird, though. So I go to my stylist last time to get my haircut, because right now, I don't get my haircut when I think it looks like it needs it, because who am I showing it to except you all? I get my haircut when working out, it starts to get in the way. And so last time I go get my haircut, I'm like, I need it short. I want it like 2.5 inches. And she's like, that is way too short. You're going to hate that. And I was like, okay. She's like, because it's like here is only 3.5. And I was like, okay, fine. We'll split the difference. Let's do 3 inches. She's like, okay. And she did it. It was fine. Okay. She doesn't talk like that.
Okay.
That's just so you know the parts I'm saying and the parts she's saying. She has a lovely voice. I couldn't do her justice, so you get this. So then this time I go back. I'm like, okay, we're going to do the record. 3 inches. She's like, what? No, that's way too long. You're going to hate that. That's too much left. That's barely any taken up. And I was like, you talked me up to that last time. She's like, no, you're going to want like maybe two. I'm like, okay, let's split the difference. We'll do 2.5. So this is 2.5. So I don't know. I told her by next time. Holy. There's something we need to talk about. There's something we've needed to talk about for 3 weeks. Okay. And we keep forgetting. And I say we because you know too, but you keep forgetting also.
Well, what is it?
About how my arm hurt.
Your arm? From your
from my first vaccination shot. I got my first vaccination shot.
Okay.
Every adult I know, except for you all and one other person, has at least got their first shot. And some of them are all the way done. So you need to work on this, mister. I sent you that software. I check that software every day. There's always at least something nearby.
Yeah, I know.
Get hooked up so we can have IHOP, although we have to wait for that too. But still. Right. No, but this is a psych to me because everybody's doing it now. So, like, we won't be able to go back to restaurants yet, but by mid-May, I will be able to go have Cheney supper over with Cheney's. I will be able to game with my gaming group in person. I will be able to go play games with the people I play games with in person. I'm at their houses. I'm very excited. And so, yeah, because of the way I got in like a day or two before the supplies started kicking in. So the version I did was on Thursday, I had to drive an hour to a Walgreens in Bettendorf, get the shot, drive an hour back. And then the next day, my wife had to get in the car, drive to the same Walgreens in Bettendorf, get her shot, and drive all the way back. Currently, our second dose appointments are the same exact thing, Thursday and Friday. Mm. I am hoping it won't let me reschedule until it's been long enough that I could technically already get it. And so by then I am hoping to reschedule it to her day so that we will both go on that Friday. And I also think that's good because it sounds like the second shot can knock you out a bit. And I'm like, then we'll have the weekend to feel bad.
Sure.
We got the Pfizer one. So those of you out there got the Moderna one. We are enemies now. We'll fight you. Those of you, those of you getting the Johnson & Johnson one, I don't know how I feel about you yet. We'll work it out. We're frenemies. Anyway, can't believe it took us so long to talk about it. We're going to talk about it on the day. Totally forgot. And then last week, totally forgot. So here we are. All right. This is a thing I have drawn out. Well, you know, Azure Talon has asked a few actually intriguing questions lately.
Is he breaking his streak now?
Yeah, he's back to classic version. Okay. All right. There's a theme in this entire question you might be able to follow. The hattiest showman in podcasting. Hugh Jackman, singing or growling? Signed, the Azurest Talon on Earth. You suck. And I want you to never forget that. Did you see The Greatest Showman on Earth or whatever it was? No. Neither did I. I'm curious why you did not.
I mean, musicals in general aren't really my thing.
Oh, are you not a musical person? I'm not sure I knew that.
Nope. Don't care for them. I mean, there's some that I've seen and some that I think Abby's okay with them. So there's probably some that I will see, but if it were up to me, I'd probably never see another musical again. They don't do anything for me.
I am a very big fan of musicals. In general, I am a fan of actual stage musicals. I usually, if I have already seen a stage musical, I can guarantee you I will like the movie version less. Sometimes, if I've only seen the movie version, I still don't like it. It just doesn't work for me in the same way. And frequently is awful because they sort of try and do other things. I loved Les Mis. I thought the movie musical Les Mis was garbage. I could not have more differing opinions about those two things, even though they in theory were the same thing. I did not like the Into the Woods movie. It might not be that bad, but the original stage one that you can find a lot of places with Bernadette Peters and everything is a masterpiece.
And I have seen that and I liked it.
It is an absolute goddamn masterpiece with one of the best casts you will ever see. And the movie was, So I really hated that. I did not see The Greatest Showman. Mostly because P.T. Barnum was a fucked up slave owning dude. Like, P.T. Barnum did terrible things and manipulated the shit out of people, particularly disadvantaged people. Legit owned a slave, made his entire career based on lying and exploiting individuals. And I didn't think a fun musical film about that would be good. And I hated that it was devised in the first place. Look into him. P.T. Barnum's fucked up. Was he one of the first people to give gainful employment to certain people with handicaps and deformities? Yes. Frequently, at their own expense in terrible ways. And he manipulated the shit out of them, and he borderline enslaved some of them. Again, legit bought a slave and used her as a show, in which he claimed she was, I believe, Abraham Lincoln's nanny. And then I want to say later displayed her body after she died. I can't remember. He did some fucked up shit. And shockingly, the musical film does not accurately portray any of that. Go figure. So yeah, didn't watch for that. Hugh Jackman can sing fine. He's good at it. I don't see why he shouldn't be in musicals. It's not a thing that I swoon over. It's not a thing that I'm like, oh my God. But you know what? Also don't give that much of a shit about him the rest of the time. He's a good actor too. Nothing about Hugh Jackman's involvement in any sort of production makes me either want to go see it or not want to go see it. I am quite neutral on him. He is a capable, functional actor and good singer, and that's fine. I don't think he will let me down in either of those departments, but I do not go to see him. Wolverine is one of my least favorite superheroes and always has been. Even then, I feel like the portrayal Hugh Jackman has done has been an unkindness to that character through no fault of Hugh Jackman. How it is written, how it is set up has been bad. His performances have been fine. He is an adequate character actor and a decent leading man and a good singer. And I really don't have an opinion on his growling.
There aren't. I did like the Into the Woods musical with Bernadette Peters. I also have liked watching some other things like Man from La Mancha that's got what's his name in it? The older
Lithgow?
One. No.
Or is that the Terry Gilliam?
O'Toole, thing? Peter O'Toole, I want to say.
Oh, okay.
I've seen that and I liked it. So it's not like it's impossible for there to be a musical. And like, I like a lot of animated Disney movies that have music in them just fine.
Yeah.
But as a
I
rule,
am at the point where I'm more discerning about the music. It's like, do you like this musical? I don't know. Is the music any good? There was a movie I watched a while ago called Anna versus the Apocalypse, or Anna and the Apocalypse or something. That is a British Christmas horror musical film.
Okay.
And it was fine. Ultimately, I didn't think the music was that great, both in terms of the composition and the performance. It was fine. I'll tell you what, it reminded me a great deal of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer music episode. And before you guys attack me on that, that has not aged well. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it turns out Joss Whedon is horrible. It's fine. Like, Dr. Horrible is so much better musically. Like, watch again the musical Buffy thing. The singing is not that great. The music is not that interesting. The composition is pretty simplistic. It's fine, but it's not brilliant. It's fine.
Xena had a couple musical episodes that weren't that
bad. I was out before Xena was jumping those kind of sharks. But I've heard good things.
Wasn't that bad.
I think it helps a lot when it's a theatrical one. I have seen, like, I also didn't like the Sweeney Todd movie. However, I had seen the stage production, I think the London stage production, with Angela Lansbury, and that thing was fucking amazing. I just don't tend to go in for film adaptations of stage musicals. Weirdly, I go in for film adaptations of just stage plays all the fucking time, but not musicals.
I like Nightmare Before Christmas, even though I don't think musically it's that great. But I mean, just the whole package together, I like. So
it is gorgeous. It also does not hold up super well now. I mean, the music is still good. The plot is more fucked up. Oh, I remember it kind of being fucked up at the time.
Yeah. I like it. It's all right.
And there's, yeah, and it has the, a lot of them are like, you know, there's like one or two really great songs that come out of it, out of the whole movie. Moana did well. I liked pretty much all of Moana's soundtrack.
Yeah, I like Moana.
I like the movie Moana a lot for a lot of reasons, but it had a pretty solid, I like its soundtrack better than Frozen, I'll put it that way. Frozen has earworm power, but I don't actually consider Frozen soundtrack to be that great. I think somewhere around Lion King, I started not being as into Disney soundtracks. I'm not sure what that was. I think I also am angry at Disney soundtracks because I feel like they killed Elton John and Phil Collins. Those guys used to make really good music, and then they just started making fucking soundtracks to kids' movies. Like, give me the Bitches Back over the Circle of Life any day, and give me literally anything in Genesis's back catalog over You'll Be in My Heart. Hell, give me Dead Silence over You'll Be in My Heart, if I'm honest. So I might be a little bitter because of that. We're over time and I got to go blow myself up with propane. So,
okay, be careful, but I mean, it is pretty, a pretty safe thing to use propane. Fairly safe. I mean, it's not like you're if anybody can mess up propane, it's me. I mean, you're smart.
No, so I'm just saying, I think you have increased your potential mourning if I die from this by a factor of 3. As you're sobbing over my death, you're going to be like, I told him it was pretty safe. That is going to stick in your craw really bad that you said that. That's right up there. Funny. That's right up there with your, like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, that's, you're going to regret that. But I'll try and maybe make a comment this week on the blog so y'all know I'm alive. I mean, you all text, but maybe.
Okay, good.
In the meantime, you go there and tell us your feelings about musicals. And I think some of you are watching Falcon and Winter Soldier. What's that about? Mm-hmm. Do we need to pivot this show into more Chicago Mike based content, or is this just a new Oak Island situation? So give us your thoughts and feedback on it. TheMagicalTalkingHat.com, and write in TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, just like the website, but with an at Gmail stuck in the middle there. And then listen again next week and see if I still have eyebrows.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.